More and more people now live in what geographers call the wildland-urban interface. While that term may conjure up images of log cabins in the woods, the reality is that these areas are increasingly suburban. In the West, almost half of all housing units are in the wildland-urban interface.
The hundreds and thousands of houses that are destroyed during a particular wildfire aren't houses that are scattered amongst the woods. They tend to be houses that are in suburbs.
That's Jack Cohen, a research scientist with the U.S. Forest Service. Over several years of studying fire damage, he's found a consistent theme.
What we found were totally destroyed houses surrounded by green trees.
That means our understanding of fire is flawed.
The fire isn't just rolling through the neighborhood like a tsunami of hot gases, because that would have ignited the vegetation.
Cohen says we also tend to think the same fire that could burn us could ignite our house into flames, and that's a mistake.
What gives us pain and injury from that heat is significantly less than what it takes to ignite wood, or even char it.
The general belief that all fires are intense enough to set our homes ablaze has led to a no-tolerance policy toward fire that Cohen says has paradoxically made wildfire season worse. Instead of allowing a number of low-intensity fires to burn off a good number of trees as seedlings, we've all but eliminated such fires. That allows more trees to grow taller, creating a large and connected tree canopy that helps fires spread.
So we're working against ourselves.
There's growing consensus around the need to understand that not all fires are created equal. At this week's Lake Tahoe Summit, California Governor Jerry Brown threw his support behind the idea.
We got to fight fires smarter. We got to take care of our forests more intelligently.
Fire inspectors in the area, including Patrick Olson, are already moving down that path. Olson works with Cal Fire in Truckee and Tahoe to ensure that residents are doing a good job of clearing out flammable materials within 100 feet of their homes. That means getting pine needles out of gutters, pruning trees, and ensuring that no trees are within 10 feet of your roof. Olson also recommends that people clear any dead vegetation off the ground near their homes.
Mainly dead grass and leaves and needles, those seem to be the big thing up here. So any dead stuff that's on the ground around your house, we ask you to clear it out. So, and then if you have like live ground cover and shrubs, like just plants and bushes, we ask you to space those out.
Driveways, utility easements, stone walls, and non-flammable paths can also help to stop a fire in its tracks. And Olson stresses that inspectors are here to help.
We're here to educate and kind of help people work with people, not to slap citations on them.
Meanwhile, Cohen, the researcher we heard from earlier, says people also need to learn to live with fire.
If we can be comfortable with some fire burning, that would be quite helpful because it would ease up on what we perceive to have to treat.
The federal government has spent an average of $3.4 billion annually to fight fires in recent years. That's three times what they spent in the 90s. Cohen says that cost could be reduced if we can all learn to embrace the idea of some fire being good. Amy Westervelt, Reno Public Radio News.